Roll tape. Let's see what we've got here today. I want you to open your Bibles with me again. I want to look one last time at John chapter 8, and then I'm going to add another short passage as well from the book of Hebrews as well with you this morning as we continue to talk about the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus. We're talking about freedom ultimately. We're talking about freedom from bondage to sin and the many ways that sin can manifest itself in our lives. We've talked for a couple of weeks about all of the potential side effects of sin in our life. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and death can manifest itself in a multitude of different ways and different forms of bondage in our lives and all of these kinds of things, and bad habits and even addictions and all of these kinds of things can be the result of sin in the fallen human nature. And so we've been talking about how to walk free and discover and experience the freedom that is ours in Jesus Christ from the power of sin and the bondage to sin in our lives. That's where God wants us to be as children of God. I want to share this with you as well before I start reading today. Some of the things that I'm going to share with you today, in particular, some of the things that I'm going to share with you at the end of the message today, are things that I know of, not just because I've read about them in the Bible, but because I have experienced them in my own life, and I have seen God's victory by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know today, brother and sister, that Christianity is real. There is power in our faith, and there is victory and freedom in our lives if we will live out the Christian faith and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus is speaking with the Pharisees and some who have actually come to believe in him. In John 8, verse 31, and Jesus said to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And then one other passage, just real quickly, if I can, from Hebrews chapter 12 and the first couple of verses there. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And the author writes here for us, and he says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses," and who he's talking about there is the heroes of faith. The 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is often called the faith chapter because it goes through a long list of men and women of the Old Testament and the great things that they accomplished in their lives because of their faith in God. And so he starts the 12th chapter, what we call chapter 12, by saying, "Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses," all of these great men and women who have great testimonies of what God did in them and for them, "we have these witnesses surrounding us. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and every sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne on high." Father, as we look at these scriptures and others today, I pray that you would indeed open the eyes of our understanding, that you would give us revelation by the Spirit that would cause faith to grow in our hearts, that would tap into the grace of God and see the victory of the Lord in each of our own lives. Thank you, Father, that faith is the victory that overcomes the world, and we choose to believe in you that we might experience that victory in our lives today. Amen and amen. All right, so both of these passages of Scripture that we've started with today are passages of Scripture that really encourage us in our faith. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, he says we're to run this race with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means we love him. We believe in him. We look to him. We desire to follow him. We desire to honor him. We desire to emulate and imitate him because we see the life that he lived, because we saw the power in his life, because we saw the victory that was always his, we can walk in that if we walk by the Spirit and do the things that God tells us to do. And by the way, some of the things I will share with you later on at the end of the, in the message today, just to give you a forewarning of these kinds of things. The things that I want to talk about today, I want us to understand these are things that we do because we love God and because we believe in Him. The things that I'm going to be telling you about that we need to do are not things that we do as a law. They're not things that we do as a formula. They are things that we do because we love God and we believe in Him. We act out, we live out our faith. And when we do, there is the grace of God. There is the power of God to set us free. This thing is real. This thing is real. And God's power is real. And if we can believe in Him, and this is why we spent so much time looking at John 8:31 and talking about, you shall, if you continue in the Word, you'll be my disciples and you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. We need to continue in the Word and let the Holy Spirit saturate our heart with the Word of God. And when we do, faith will come to our heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit shows us who God is, how much He loves us, shows us who Jesus is, that He's the Son of God and the Savior of the world who died to pay for our sins and to break the power of sin over our life, shows us who the Holy Spirit is, who lives and dwells on the inside of us to reproduce the life of Jesus within us, to manifest the power of God within us. We see from the scriptures the revelation of who the enemy is and who, what sin is. And we understand the destruction that these things come to our life. We need to get the revelation of all of these things by the Spirit of God into our heart, because the enemy is going to come and the enemy is going to tempt us. And we can't afford to look at the temptations of the devil and think, wow, isn't that fun? On the surface, it probably will look like fun. On the surface, it probably will look like something that you might enjoy for a season. But the truth of the matter is, even though sin does have a temporary pleasure, it always leaves destruction in its wake. And the destruction of sin will always far outseed the pleasure that it brings to you. And so if we understand that, then when the temptation comes, we're much less likely to follow that temptation and enter into it. We're much less likely to resist the devil and watch him flee from us. But these things, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is imperative, brother and sister, and I can't emphasize this enough. It is imperative that we know the Word of God, that we know the Bible. This Bible is God's manual, a handbook for life. This is how it's done, how it's done properly, how it's done successfully. And if we'll know the Word, and if we'll let the Holy Spirit lead us, we will make good choices in our life, and we will see good fruit come as a result of those good choices. And we'll live a far better life, a life of faith, a life of faith that produces victory in our lives. When we get the revelations of these kinds of things, who God is and His love for us, who Jesus is and how He saves us, who the Holy Spirit is and how He fills us, when we come to understand all of these things, we're going to come to understand who we are as Christians, what it means to be a child of God, even in this day and even in this hour. Look with me, look over at Luke chapter 15, and I want to look at a very familiar story to all of us. It's the story of the prodigal son. And I'm just going to highlight one verse, but I want to lay the foundation by reminding you of the story of the prodigal son. In Luke 15, Jesus is teaching there, and he tells us about a man who has two sons. And the younger of the two is selfish, and he demands from his father his inheritance. Which, by the way, if you understand the Jewish culture, really most cultures, an inheritance comes after somebody dies. So when this son comes to his father and he says, I demand my inheritance, he's pretty much telling his father, I wish you were dead. See? And so he comes to his father and he demands his inheritance and his father gives it to him. And the boy goes out and he wastes everything that the father has given him. My translation says he lives in riotous living. You can probably understand what all went on with this kid and how he wasted all of his money and all of these kinds of things. And he finally gets, he's lost everything because he's chosen the life of sin. Destruction has come and he's lost virtually everything. He's a Jewish boy who finds himself enslaved to Gentiles and out back feeding their pigs and wishing that he ate as well as the pigs did. This is the whole point is to tell you it's as low as it gets where this kid is concerned. It just can't get any lower. And the Bible says that he came to his senses. Now that's a good thing. It's a sad thing that like the prodigal son, most of us have to get just as low as we can possibly get before we'll ever look up, before we'll ever come to our senses. But even in that stage of life, we can make the decision to turn back to our Heavenly Father. This guy turns back to his father. He says, I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to repent. I'm going to confess. I'm going to ask him just to take me back as a slave. I know I'm unworthy to be a son in his house any longer. But I'm going to just ask him to take me back and I can be a slave because I know the slaves in my father's house have a whole lot better life than I have right now. And so he makes that decision to go back to his father and confess his sins, to repent of his sins, and to ask his father to take him back. Yes, at a lower position, at a lower station, but at least he would be back in connection with his father. But here's what I want you to see in verse 22. The response of the father to the prodigal son when he comes back. Verse 22. The father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son. Whew. He called him his son. You did some awful things, boy. But you're still my son. And I still love you. And I receive you. And I bring you back into my house. I want you to see this, guys. He says, I'm bringing you back into my house as though you never left in the first place. He puts a robe on him, verse 22, the best robe. In my mind, I've always pictured this young man making the decision in the pigsty to go back to his father. And he comes back to his father reeking of the pigsty with the filth and the stench and all of that stuff all over him. And he comes back to his father just as awful and disgusting as he could possibly be. And the father looks at him and he says, let's cover all that up. Let's put a beautiful new robe over top of him and cover up all of that stuff that he's experienced in the past. Did you know the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 61 that we are covered over with a robe of righteousness? A robe of righteousness when we come to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the filth and all of the stench and all of the disgusting stuff of the world that's sticking to us, when we come before God, God cleans it up. God wipes it away and God puts a new robe on us. A robe of righteousness. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 that God made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin for you and I. He becomes sin with our sin. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for you and I so that you and I could become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. When God the Father looks at you and me today and we've come back to him in faith and we've trusted Jesus for salvation, When he looks at us, just like this prodigal, when the father looks at this prodigal, he doesn't see the filth, he doesn't see the stench, he doesn't see the mess. He sees that robe of righteousness that he's put on his son. And when the heavenly father looks at you and I today, he sees the righteousness of Christ that we've been clothed in because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how he views us. The son considered himself unworthy. The son considered himself of very little use, of very little purpose in his life. But the father saw him completely differently. And brother and sister, I'll tell you today, no matter what any of us have ever done in this lifetime, if we will come back to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will forgive us. God will cleanse us. God will see us as his very own righteousness. Oh, he's got a good memory. He knows all the stuff that we've done before. But he chooses not to see that. He chooses to see us through Jesus Christ and sees us as his very own righteousness. He put a robe on his boy. And then he put a ring on his hand. You know what that ring means on his finger? That ring represents the authority of the Father. He is fully reestablished in his Father's household with all of the authority, all the privileges, and all of the rights included therein as a son of his Father. It all belongs to him again. It's all his again. And when you and I come to Jesus Christ and we receive him as our Lord and Savior, we receive the authority of the Son of God. We receive the authority that he has over death, hell, and the grave. We receive the authority that he has over sin and wickedness and ugliness and over the devil himself. We're right here in Luke. Look back in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, and about verse 19. And I went back to many chapters. Jesus is sending out his disciples, anointing them to do his work, to do his ministry, training them up to do these kinds of things. The disciples come back rejoicing. It says in verse 17, Luke 10, 17, the 70 returned saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. All the demons of hell are subject to the children of God who are living in the authority of the name of Jesus, living by faith in the Son of God. And Jesus said, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, verse 19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. And brother and sister, that describes the authority that you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the authority over the devil, the authority over sin, the authority over all the works of darkness. We have the authority of our Heavenly Father when we come back to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they put shoes on the prodigal's feet. In that day, the custom was that slaves didn't wear shoes. They weren't entitled to shoes. They went barefoot. But the son and those who lived in the father's house, they were given the shoes. And that means that they can come into the father's house in the way that the slaves cannot. They have access to the father in the ways that the slaves don't. And so you and I who come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are given the shoes that give us access to Almighty God. And we can come to him anytime, anywhere, in any situation. And we can bring our concerns and our problems and our needs to God. And the Bible said that God will never leave us or forsake us. And he will be right there for us no matter what it is we're going through in this lifetime. So how do we come to walk out the victory and the freedom that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Well, first of all, we've already talked about the beginning of it. Freedom begins when we come to Jesus. Freedom begins when the Holy Spirit, as Stuart has already told us today, when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to who Jesus is. And we come to recognize that He is the Savior of the world. And we come to recognize that we need Him in our lives because we cannot save ourselves. And we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we confess that we are sinners and we need Him to forgive our sins and to save our souls. And the Bible says the moment we make that decision for Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of us. Our sins are forgiven. The power of sin is broken over our lives. We become children of God, sons and daughters of God, just like the prodigal who came home and now he is a full-fledged son. All the rights, all the privileges, all the access, all the authority, everything else that can come from the Father now belongs to the Son. Now all of this belongs to you and I as children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of sin is broken over our lives and you and I become free. We become free. But how many of you know the enemy is still here? And he still tempts us. And he still tries us. And he still does everything that he possibly can to try to pull us away from the faith and to try to destroy our lives. We talked about it from 1 John chapter 2, the beginning of this series. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. John says all of these things are of the world and all of these things are coming against you continually to try to drag you away, tear you away from God, to get you to follow the world and the ways of the world instead of following God and the ways of the Lord. And temptation is always coming and temptation is always right there at the door. But you and I have a revelation. You and I know what sin does to us. So when that temptation comes, we don't want the pain. We don't want to hurt God. We're going to say no to the devil. We're going to say yes to the Holy Spirit. And understand you have to say that yes. Overcoming sin is not just a matter of saying no to sin. We don't live in a vacuum. There was a song years ago by a secular artist who got saved. And he began singing gospel music, writing gospel music. One of the songs that he wrote said, you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. Who is it going to be? Are you going to serve the devil? Are you going to serve sin? Are you going to serve God? And a lot of us think, well, we're not going to serve the devil. Not really sure about God. Maybe we'll just serve ourselves. No. When you're serving yourself, brother and sister, you're serving another God other than the one true God, and you might as well be serving the devil. It's the same thing. There are only two choices. There are only two roads. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. There's a narrow way that leads to life. There are only two choices. Only two to serve. Which one are you going to serve? Who are you going to choose? We're going to choose God. As Joshua would say in his book, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we're going to say yes to the Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of us to lead us in paths of righteousness, to give us strength in times of weakness, power over sin, power to walk out the Christian life in righteousness. To further protect ourselves, we talked about the need of setting boundaries in our lives. Setting boundaries concerning the places we go, the things that we do, the people that we run with. Because the enemy can use all of these things to pull us away from God if all of them would be an ungodly influence on our lives. And so we need to set boundaries and we need to make better choices about the kinds of people that we're going to fellowship with and the kinds of places that we're going to go and all of these kinds of things. We need to, and we haven't talked about it and we could, and haven't got the time to do it. We could talk about the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6 that God gives us for our protection, renewing our minds to the benefits of salvation, guarding our hearts by choosing the way of righteousness, living according to God's truth and not the world's truth, trusting our lives to God and living to tell the world about Jesus Christ. This is the armor of God that protects us from the attack of the enemy. And when we put on that armor, when the enemy attacks, then we wield the sword of the Spirit and we resist the enemy with the Word of God, and we experience God's victory and God's freedom. But how many of you know the devil is persistent? And the devil keeps coming, and the devil keeps attacking, and the devil keeps tempting. And brother and sister, here's the bad news. The bad news is he's going to do it to you, and he's going to do it to me every day we live on this planet, because he is the ruler of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air. This is his territory. And as long as we are living here, he will attack us and he will attempt us. That's the bad news. The good news is that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And no matter how many times he comes, there's grace sufficient to have victory over him every attack, every temptation, every day for the rest of your life on this planet. You can be free. God wants you free. God wants you to live in victory. But we know that we are but flesh. And all too often we give into the fleshly desires. And when that happens, just like the prodigal, hopefully we come to our senses and we can repent. We can confess our sins to God, knowing that 1 John 1:9 tells us, when we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he makes us free again. And he makes us free again. And he makes us free again. And he never, ever gives up on us. And every time we come to him, he makes us free again. He forgives us of our sins. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But how many of you know? Sometimes, like King David, we're too proud to admit that we've sinned. We've gotten ourselves into trouble. We're afraid of what other people are going to think, what they're going to say about us, if the truth were to ever get out. I shared with you last week, the best thing you can do in that situation is get the truth out for yourself. You need to have an accountability partner. You need to have somebody that you can trust, somebody that you can talk to, that you know they're not going to be blabbing your business all over the world, but somebody that you can confide in, and somebody that you can tell your problems to, and somebody who can be a prayer partner for you and with you to help you through those tough times. Somebody that you can call when you feel the temptation and you want to be right with God, but the temptation is so strong and you're afraid you're going to trip again. You're afraid you're going to fall again. And you need to have that person you can talk to in order to bring your sins out into the light. Brother and sister, listen to me. Your sins find their strength when you keep them hidden in the darkness. Darkness merely strengthens sin where our lives is concerned. And it's why we need to expose it to the light of God, because light always conquers darkness. And we need to expose our sins. It's a whole lot better for us to expose our sins than to have somebody else expose them for us. And the Bible tells us in the book of Numbers, the Bible tells us there that your sins will find you out. Your sins will find you. You understand today, listen to me, nobody is really ever getting away with anything. Oh, I understand. It may be judgment day before they're found out. But the truth of the matter is, nobody is ever getting away with anything. For all of our hearts are open and laid bare before him with whom we have to do. And God sees it all. And God knows it all. And God loves you. Listen to me. God loves you and me enough to allow our sins to be exposed. so that we can confess them, get healing from them, get over them, and find his freedom and victory again. He loves us enough to let us be exposed in our darkness. This is my story. This is my story. We need to bring our sins into the light. Sometimes we've made poor choices for so long, they have become bad habits. Pride, shame, embarrassment keeps us from doing the right things, calling that person, confiding in somebody else, and we try to just hold it in ourselves, bury it within ourselves. But sin just grows stronger in the secret. It just grows stronger in the dark. And sometimes, brother and sister, when we have allowed things to go on and on and on for so long in our lives, they can become bad habits. They can become bad addictions. They can actually become demonic strongholds in our lives. And you need genuine deliverance in that situation to get free from the power of the enemy. Can I tell you today, freedom is still yours to be had. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. It doesn't matter how deep the sin goes. It doesn't matter how strong that claw is in your brain and you think this is always the way it's going to be and I can never be free and nothing's ever going to be different. It can be different because God is greater than that sin. And greater is he who lives within you than he who is in the world. And if you and I will do the things that God tells us to do, we can have freedom, we can have victory, we can have peace. But we've got to be willing to do what God tells us to do. In my situation years ago, having made poor decisions and having virtually lost everything in my life, I had come just about to that point. And even along the way, I had asked God, God, please help me with this. Please stop this. Please take this away from me. And do you know he never did? And when it got to the end of it, and I asked God, God, why didn't you help me? And I just about lost everything. And I said, God, why didn't you help me? And God said to me, he said, I gave you everything you needed to be free from that stronghold. But you didn't do what I told you to do. Brother and sister, I'm wanting you to see today that you and I have responsibility where our lives are concerned. God has given us free will. God has given us free will. And as a general rule, he won't break that. He will let us make the choices that we want to make. Just like the prodigal did where his father was concerned, the prodigal decided he wanted to get out of there, wanted nothing to do with his father, wanted to go love the world for a while. And the Father let him go. And do you know that God will let you go too? He's given you free will. And he'll let you make bad choices. All the while pleading with you to make the right choices. To fall in love with him again. To live with him and commune with him. And let him have control of your life. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses tells the children of Israel before, God says to the children, behold, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And listen to this. God said to the people of Israel, I've put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life by loving the Lord your God with all of your heart. But the choice is yours. The choice is mine. We have free will. But even though the destruction of the devil be coming against us, and even though we may feel like there is no more hope for our lives, brother and sister, there is hope. There's always hope in God. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. And we have to be willing to do what God tells us to do. We have to be willing to exercise our authority in Jesus Christ over the powers of darkness. You and I have to take up that sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6 and about verse 17. We have to take up that sword of the Spirit, and we have to resist the enemy with the Word of God. Let me show you quickly one last passage for the day, if I might, in Mark chapter 11. And I just got a whole new perspective on this very familiar passage of Scripture to me over many years. And just the other day, I'm reading this, and I'm getting a whole new perspective on what Jesus is saying here. The story here in Mark chapter 11, this is the day of the triumphal entry, if you remember that. And Jesus sees the fig tree that doesn't have any fruit on it. Looks like it ought to, but it doesn't. It's worthless. It's useless. And so Jesus speaks to the fig tree. And simply by the power of the spoken word of Jesus Christ, the fig tree dies. The disciples are amazed. Jesus, look. Look at the tree you just spoke to. Look at what happened to the tree. And now watch what Jesus says to the disciples in Mark 11, verse 22. Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God." Faith is the key, brother and sister. Please understand, when I'm talking about exercising our authority over the enemy, I'm not talking about a formula. I'm not talking about a law. I'm not talking about promise box Christianity. Any of you old enough to know what promise box Christianity is? Used to be years ago, these little promise boxes were sold, about a 2x2 square box and a whole bunch of little tabs of paper in there. Each one had a promise from God written on it. And every day you're supposed to take out a promise and read it. And that was that kind of thing. And too often, that promise box scripture was about all the scripture anybody ever read. And even then, it was only read when you got in trouble. You know, and all hell starts to break out in your life and nothing is going good and God doesn't seem to be answering your prayers. You don't know what's going on. And so you run to the promise box and you pull out the promise and you quote the promise to God. Brother and sister, that's not faith. That's religion. That's form. That's formula. But it's not faith. That's why we need to know the Word of God for ourselves. So when the enemy comes against us, we know from deep within our heart what scripture we need to use against the enemy in that given situation. That's exactly what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, when Jesus is on the Mount of Temptation and the enemy comes to him several times, and with every temptation, he'll jump from the top of the temple, turn that bread into stone. You know, all of these things, bow down before me and I'll give you everything you want, the devil told Jesus. And with every temptation, Jesus knew exactly what scripture to quote to the enemy to run him out of his life. And you and I need to know the Word of God in that same way, so that when the enemy comes against us, we know the scripture to use against him to run him out of our lives. And brother and sister, I just want to tell you, my time's getting short. I just want to tell you, there is power in the Word of God. There is spiritual power in the Word of God when it is spoken from your heart of faith. Just to quote a scripture won't do you any good. But if you believe that scripture in your heart and you speak that scripture from a place of faith, the power of that scripture will manifest itself in your life. And the power of that scripture will set you free. The truth will always set you free. Jesus said so. He doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. And so we need to know the Word of God, and we need to be willing to enter into. I'm talking about times of intense spiritual warfare. I'm talking about times in our lives when we have chosen sin for so long, It has become a demonic stronghold in our heart and in our lives. And it feels like we can't possibly break free. And it's in those times when we must enter into true and intense spiritual warfare where the enemy is concerned. And I want to just tell you, even though you make that decision to enter into that warfare, the devil's not going to give up. The devil, a faith teacher said many years ago, this faith teacher, they said, this man will never say anything wrong about anybody. He doesn't have anything bad to say about anybody. Somebody said, I'll bet he'll even say something good about the devil if you ask him. And they asked this man, is there something good you can say about the devil? He said, he thought for a minute and he said, well, the devil is a persistent cuss. And he is that. He is persistent. And if I can just slaughter the English again, you and I need to be more persistenter. We just need to keep up the fight and not back off and not quit and not give in and not think that our situation is hopeless. Because brother and sister, as long as God lives, there is always hope. There is always hope. And there is always victory for those who will enter into the fray. We need to rebuke the enemy using the Word of God. We need to speak the Word of God over our lives and to the enemy just the way that Jesus did. Every time the devil comes to tempt us, even if it's 10,000 times a day, 10,000 times a day, we need to rebuke the devil and keep on fighting and not quit and not give up and not throw in the towel. But rebuke him, speaking God's word from faith, declaring God's freedom over our lives. Devil, I am a child of God. And I am free from the power of evil over my life. Devil, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And I am free from the power of sin in my life. Devil, I am the champion of God. And I will not be defeated. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I will not defile God's temple. I walk by the Spirit. I'll not gratify my fleshly desires. I've crucified my flesh with its passions and its desires. Greed, lust, drunkenness, anger, bitterness, whatever it is in your life, command it to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight. Exercise your authority. Wield the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. Speak truth over your life. The truth will make you free. Freedom is yours in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. And Father, we thank you today that you have created us and designed us for a loving relationship with you. And included in that is freedom from all of the works of darkness, all of the power of sin, the power of the evil one. Jesus Christ has come to set us free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.